begin next Sunday, April 29th.
Yes?
No. Today also is our last college-aged lunch before summer. If you are college-aged and would like to join us, please meet Reed Hall following this service. This morning, our teenagers are sharing ways that 1 John 3:16 through 24 has impacted them. We used Lectio Divina, which means divine reading or listening, to prayerfully discuss this passage in 1 John to prepare for our worship service today. How we know will be the focus this morning. Our liturgy, prayers, music, children's time, this entire service from beginning to end will all center on this idea that we all have different ways that we know that we are loved by God. Now, please stand and join our youth in singing hymn number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Please stand.
The God of all has called us here. Jesus gave his life so we can know what love is. The Holy Spirit moves through us, bringing us new hope.
Let us come before God, confessing our sins and trusting that he will leave none of us alone. Lord, we take your love for granted over and over. In the middle of having so many blessings, we complain about not having enough. When we are surrounded by adversity, we don't trust your continuing love. When you prepare a table for us, we don't even notice your efforts. Call us back to you and help us trust your caring presence, so that our actions can show others your love. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. Oh, sorry. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God forgives our failures and calls us back to his, into his love. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Joseph and Jessica Tatum bring their son, Riley Cole Tatum, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are incorporated and initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Jessica and Joe, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow, and when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, and he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. So pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is to be given this child? Riley Cole, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll put your hands on. Riley Cole, the Holy Spirit move within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, that you may grow to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Riley Cole, we're going to go on a journey here. The first of many journeys in this life of faith. And we're going to come out here in the center so that this entire family of faith can see you, because they are the ones that are going to support and love you and walk with you in your Christian faith from this day forward.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Riley Cole to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Give thanks for all that God has already given you, Riley Cole, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson from the book of 1 John. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
any children to come up and join Richard here on the steps at the front for the children's time.
Mic's working. Good. Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for coming down. I'm Richard Ferrara. I'm a junior. I'm in the youth group. And I'm going to talk to you about ways that we can not only share love through our words, but also our actions. So if you wanted to let someone know that you love them, how would you do it? Any ideas? No ideas? Well, you could simply say that you love them by telling them, I love you. You could write it down on a piece of paper. Even though Valentine's Day has passed, I did bring a Valentine. It says, I love you on it, because writing it on a Valentine is a way to show someone that you love them. I might give it to my parents later today to show that I love them. But what if you couldn't tell someone that you love them? Or what if you couldn't write it down on a piece of paper like this? Would you still be able to let people know that you love them? There are lots of other ways to tell people that you love them. You could hug them, if they're really good friends. You could smile at them. Maybe if you really love them, you could even hold their hand. It's easy for most of us to show love to our members of our family or our friends because we're really close to them, right? You guys love your friends. You like hanging out with them, talking to them. But God wants us to love all of his children.
Oh, we got a newcomer. All right.
This doesn't mean you have to hug every single person you meet. Even though I'm sure people would like them to hug, like you to hug them, some might be kind of freaked out by it, but it'd still be nice. God does want us to be able to help people in need whenever we can, though. 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18 read, but if anyone who has money enough to live well and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses to help, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us stop saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. Of course, when John says, dear children, he means everyone, because we're all children of God. So if you saw a man, say, shivering in the cold outside, and you want to show that you love that person, which of these two things would you use to show love? I have the Valentine, or I have this warm sweatshirt jacket. Which one do you think that he would want more? You'd show him more. Jacket? Right, the jacket would be, even though I'm sure he would appreciate the Valentine, he would say thank you, that's a way to show that you love him, he would appreciate the jacket more because it shows that you love him by caring about what situation he's in, because he's cold, you'd like to give him a jacket. Of course, you don't have to wait to see someone that's shivering in the cold to show your love. You can offer money, you can give money to people selling contributors. I'm sure you see those people outside the church all the time, those people sell newspapers. You can buy one of those to help them at people in need. You can do services for groups, such as Room in the Inn. We do a bunch of services in the youth group. You could do stuff like that. You can even show love for your parents by doing chores without them having to ask you. I'm sure they would appreciate that very much. When you get home, you and your parents can talk about ways to show people that you love them other than just saying, walking up to them and saying, hey, I love you. So let's show our love by our actions. Would you pray with me? Dear God of love, help us tell others that we love them by using both our words and our actions. Thank you for showing your love for us by sending your son, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, amen. You guys can go back to your seats now. Thanks for coming up.
Hello, my name is Carly Horner, and I'm a senior at Harpeth Hall. Next year, I will be attending TCU. Being raised in the church has shaped who I am and how I see things. From day one, I've been a part of the church. As a child, I had no doubt in my mind about my faith, about God. Everyone taught me about my faith. How could I doubt it? Although, as I got older and began to shape my own opinions, I began to question my faith. The root of my doubt came from the question, how do we know? It sometimes seemed to me that no one around me had a doubt in the world. They knew. Why didn't I? How did they know? How could I too know? As I've grown up in this community, my faith has grown and changed. I've always been told that God is great, and yes, God is great. But what I think I really needed to hear is that God is greater. Greater than me, greater than my doubts, and greater than this world and everything in it. Not to say that my doubts are trivial, but I needed to know that doubting did not mean that I didn't know. It only made my knowing stronger and deeper. 1 John 3:18 through 20 says, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." God tells us that we are from the truth. He tells us that he is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. And that has been very comforting to me. He knows all my doubts and has been there every step of the way through my faith journey. So how do we know? Well, as much as we all love instant gratification, this doesn't really work that way. It's a journey that we all have to travel throughout our lives, our faith journey. And in my case, I'm still at the beginning. But I'm so grateful to have had this community as a place where I can keep moving forward. So many aspects of West End have grown my faith over the years. From Sunday school as a child, to confirmation, to youth group, to sitting in this sanctuary on Sundays, each moment I've spent in this community has been impactful and strengthening to my own faith. I think about this place and all the people in it, and it really is one of the strongest communities that I'm a part of. The people in this church have been there throughout my whole childhood and been there through my whole faith journey. This is a safe place where I've been able to share my doubts and ask my questions, and there's always been someone on the other end to listen and answer and discuss. West End is a community of love, and my faith has strengthened and changed form, and now I know that I do know. I know that God works in us and others. He works in this community and through each of us. I know that God is greater than I can comprehend, and I know all of this because of the community I've grown up in. I've had a place to share my questions, and I've had them answered, and I've been loved every step of the way. So thank you to everyone who's been there through my faith journey, my family, the youth group, and this whole congregation.
Good morning. My name is Haynes Lynch, and I'm currently finishing my senior year at Montgomery Bell Academy just down West End. Next year, I will be attending Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a man of few words. I usually sit back and listen to the discussion, maybe making an interjection here and there. I've heard comments along the lines of, "You're being awfully quiet," or "You never talk more than I can count." Opening up and sharing my thoughts has always been one of my weaknesses, especially when it comes to my faith. So I really debated with myself as to whether or not I would speak today. But then I remembered something from my time in the youth group. Over the years, various church members have visited our Sunday school and shared their faith stories. So if they could do it, why shouldn't I? The common theme of each of their faith stories seemed to be that each individual grew closer to God through their struggles. And when I thought about it, I realized this too held true for me. Whether it was dealing with the deaths of family members and friends, fighting through an injury that prevented me from doing the things I love, or simply worrying about the future, I can honestly say that I came out on the other side with deeper faith. I believe that the main reason that I was able to conquer these obstacles, as opposed to giving up, plays perfectly into our theme for today, love. Being surrounded by a congregation filled with family and friends who could not only understand my problems, but could also sympathize with me, allowed me to become the man I am today. A community of love is essential for success, but how do we know exactly what love is? When most people think about love, they think about that warm, fuzzy feeling down in their heart. However, the love of God is deeper than that. It is harder to achieve and requires great sacrifice. It is this love that grows our faith into something profound and mysterious. The magnitude of unconditional love given to us by God is unfathomable. We know what love is because of the biblical history and faith stories that have come before us. But simply knowing the answer is not good enough. God commands that we care for one another, not just the people we know, not just when it is convenient, but everyone all the time. Showing love and feeling loved are about as close to heaven on earth as we can get. If we are able to accomplish this goal, then we know what love is. We know that we live in Him and He in us. The youth group has given me the opportunity to further my understanding of love and share it through service. During 30-hour famine, my friends and I were able to see the significance of simple random acts of kindness, handing out balloons in the park or buying a contributor and actually speaking to the salesman brightened not only the recipient's day, but also our own. In Appalachia, my group got to know a boy named Gage, whose house we were fixing after a severe storm. We were repairing the roof at no charge to the family who did not have the funds to pay for it. On the last day, Gage proudly offered each of us a frosty fruit pop to cool us off in the heat. We later learned that he paid for the popsicles himself with his piggy bank savings. At 61st Avenue Church, I used to help mentor with the after-school program. The simple Bible lessons designed for the elementary students changed the way I think about life. All three of these examples helped me realize the immense power of love. It is by no means a one-way street. The things I've done and the people I've helped have had a far greater influence on me than me on them. My experiences in the youth group have shown me how God's love truly does connect and transform. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Somm. I've been a member of this congregation since I was a baby. I'm currently a senior at the University School of Nashville, and I'll be attending the University of Richmond in the fall. I'm not gonna lie, I had a hard time trying to figure out what I wanted to say today. There I was, so excited to finally get to be a senior and speak at Youth Sunday, but when I got to the Bible verse to base my sermon off of, my mind was blank. It seemed so simple to me. Love each other as Jesus loved us. But as I continued to read it and think on it, one of its lines stood out to me. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. After that, I remembered something. I remembered a Bible verse that seemed very similar to me. It was Ephesians 6:18, and it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." This is a Bible verse that I kept with me at all times, that I keep with me at all times. It has lived in my wallet for the past 3 years because of how much it's meant to me. Let me explain. I came across this verse when I was at my last year at summer camp. Every night before we go to our cabins, we do Vespers. And on the second to last night of camp, the last year campers lead it. We call it Friendship Vespers. Everyone picks a Bible verse that they feel like shows their time at camp and the friendships they've made. All 60 of us line up in front of the whole camp and read our verse and explain the meaning of it. The main goal is to get through your verse without crying your eyes out. That didn't go so well for us. For as soon as the first guy started reading, he broke down into tears. That's when the rest of us knew that there was no hope for us. It's quite an emotional night. To me, both these lines from completely separate books of the Bible connect so well. They both remind me of a community where you have support, love, and meaningful connections. And luckily for me, I've been able to find this here at West End. Just like I explained on Vespers night, I know that my community here will always be there for me, even when I leave for college in the fall. I don't think I would have grown so much in my relationship with God if it hadn't been for everyone here and the experiences I've been blessed with. I've been able to walk away from mission trips with stronger relationships and assurance of who I am and what I want to do. One of the most pivotal points that I can identify is our mission trip to the Appalachian Mountains to serve with ASP. One of our group leaders, Jeff McCormick, shared about his experience working for them, and it really moved me how emotional he got about it. After the week was over, I knew I wanted to serve a bigger purpose than just myself. I wanted to feel good about the job I would have in the future and be able to use it to give back to others. At that point, though, I had no idea what it might look like for me, since I didn't really have a clue of what I wanted to do. I still don't know exactly what my future will look like. All I know is that God will be there for me as I find my way. Something I've also realized in finding out who I am and figuring out how God plays a role in my life is that it's okay to doubt. Going to small groups every night has shown me it's okay to doubt and question God. Without that questioning, I wouldn't be able to strengthen my relationship with God and learn new things. I wouldn't be able to form my own opinions and come to my own conclusions. Without Sunday school and small groups, the amazing people who are always there, I don't think I'd be as secure in my faith. Amazing people and an amazing community have surrounded me for the past 18 years of my life, and I couldn't be more grateful. One of the questions I had to answer for college was, what would I miss most about my current community? And I said, my church. I come to church at least 2 days a week, sometimes more. I wouldn't want to spend my time anywhere else. It's been a place where I've grown, met some of my lifelong friends, and been shown what unconditional love really is. I just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you. I wouldn't be the person who I am today without any of you.
Hi, my name is Anlyn Zink. I go to the University School of Nashville, and this fall I will be going to Wake Forest University. My family moved to Nashville when I was 2, and I was immediately enrolled in preschool here. So counting that, I have been at Weston for 16 years. I love this church and this youth group so much that I show up every single Sunday. However, it wasn't always like this. In 6th grade, I was one of those very committed kids who came to confirmation every single Sunday. With the lack of breakfast and lecture-style learning, I had low hopes for youth group. I thought that it would be the exact same, so I didn't go for the entire year of 7th grade. In case y'all were wondering, it's not like that at all. I finally decided to test it out in 8th grade when I showed up to go to Heifer Ranch in Arkansas on a mission trip. Thank goodness I did, because I haven't looked back. I showed up once in 8th grade and gained a family for at least the next 5 years and probably the rest of my life. Since then, I think I have been to pretty much every youth group event. I'm here every Sunday night and most Sunday mornings. I have been to every mission trip, 30-hour famine, and fall retreat. I showed up to go on the mission trip, and I gained a family. Through these experiences, I have learned that the most important thing in my life is showing up. To support someone, show up. To feel better, show up. To talk through problems, show up. To deal with heartbreak from losing someone, show up. We are told to love our neighbor, but how can they know we love them if we don't show up to show them? Jesus showed up for us. He showed up to the people who needed to know that someone would show up for them. The lepers, the blind, the poor. It's not always easy to show up. Sometimes there's too much work, or the drive is too long, or there are 200 other things that need to be done. So I challenge you to think about whose life you can make better by just showing up. Maybe it's yours, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's a stranger. Either way, if you show up, someone's life will be better because of it.
All right, here we go. Hello all, my name's Eli Horton, and I'll be going to Middlebury College in Vermont next fall. So I've been here at West End since I was a youngin, I think 19 years, what I said in small groups a couple weeks ago. And so I'm glad that I get to go towards the end of the seniors up here, because I'm glad you all get a chance to hear the sort of people that I'm going to be talking a little bit about. So as my friends and I have grown up in this church, we've seen a lot of change. We've had new Sunday school teachers every year in elementary school, but especially after confirmation, we went through a number of youth personnel as well. We've loved all the youth leaders, the interns, and the aides that we've had over the years, but the only real constant that we've had has been each other. The 5 people that are up talking today, and about 3 or 4 more that aren't, have been a great number of people to be with me from the very beginning. My faith story and my journey have been largely carried by these great friends that I get to surround myself with. It's an interesting sentiment, but I've learned most about myself, my faith, and what I hold dearest to me from these people up here. And personal reflection is extremely important to me, but I need people around me to collaborate with and listen to me and share with for me to be able to grow as a person. So it only really makes sense that my journey to where I am now in my faith is mostly influenced by these people that I've been with and around the most. and that's largely because I'm always with these people when I'm reflecting on myself and who I am. And whether it's the second floor porch in the Bahamas or looking up at the stars, Pickett State Park, sitting next to the highway in Alabama, lying on a roof in Nashville, opening up to each other in small groups, or just enjoying each other's time and company in Pickett. I've shared countless moments, memories, trips, laughs with these people that I get to call my friends. And the organized and unorganized scenarios alike have given me a great balance of structured reflection time on being a Christian and unstructured time to learn about my friends and connect with them. The theme we've been speaking on is how we know. Well, I didn't really know until about sophomore year. 10th grade is sort of an interesting time. You know, you're not the youngest one in high school, but you're not quite yet an old upperclassman. So we had all clicked and loved each other's company before that, but it felt like things were different in 10th grade. That's when things started to change from a group of good friends that I had to I got to see them every week or so, to people that were starting to be a really big part of my life. We were at all the youth events and the small groups every Sunday night, and spending my first weekend at Pickett with all of them was something that I'll never forget. A big thank you out to the Doctors Lynch. And it was a time away from everything where I learned a lot more about all of them. And what I've learned from my peers is obviously we go through a lot of the same struggles and joys, but we also have similar questions about how we experience the world around us and share similar paths to get where we are in our lives and in our faith. People first is what they've taught me. Being there for a friend, listening, accepting, learning, and that's where I see God, is through my interactions with these people. And I hope that I get to leave you with this thought and this message, and that you'll take my advice to reach out to your friends, you know, whatever platform, call, text, feeling crazy, write a letter. They may not be aware of the impact that they've had on your faith journey. And I couldn't have done life without my faith community, my family, my loved ones, my friends, and I'm grateful for all of you, my church family, my friends, and my family, and for everything that all of you have given to me. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Emma Ryan, and I am a senior at Harpeth Hall. I've been coming to West End for my whole life, and next year I will be attending Wake Forest University. A community cannot function without love. The only way a community can be successful is if each person in the community loves one another like God loves them. And if we love to that extent, then God lives in us. This is how we know. I've been fortunate enough to grow up in the West End community, and the steady constant in my life has not only helped me make my faith my own, but has also shown me how powerful a community can be. I am constantly reminded here that I am always part of something bigger. Members of this community, and more specifically members of our youth group community, have seen me at my best and my worst, have heard my questions, doubts, and prayers, and through it all have supported me and broadened my perspective about what a relationship with God looks like. I am part of many communities, from this one to FCA to Camp DeSoto to Harpeth Hall and so many more. I could talk about each of these communities and their role in my faith journey, but I would like instead to focus on a specific verse from the passage in 1 John. Verse 17 reads, "How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, yet refuses help?" These words emphasize the most important thing that I have learned from this community and others, and that is to live actively in my faith and serve others. This community at West End was really the first community to introduce me to service, and it has become such a big part of my life now that I can't imagine a life without serving others. My first introduction to service was when I entered the youth group in 7th grade, and we worked with the Nashville Food Project each month. Since then, I have had the privilege to serve World Vision, Upper Sand Mountain Parish, Green Street Ministries, and Bahamas Methodist Habitat with this group. Every time we serve together, I am not only reminded of the many ways we can serve others, but I am also reminded of the power of community through serving others. This past summer, we traveled to Eleuthera, a small island in the Bahamas that is still recovering from the effects of Hurricane Andrew in 1992 and other tropical storms. We roofed houses, tore down old fences, paved a driveway, and reconstructed a wall of a house. I had never done any sort of roof work or repair before this trip, so I was excited to get up on the roof and get to work. However, as soon as I got to the top of the ladder to make the transition onto the roof, I was suddenly reminded of the fact that I could very easily fall off the roof and potentially die. I then proceeded to cry. Then, to make things worse, while I was crying and everyone else in my group was standing beneath me to hold the ladder, my pants ripped. I was not having a good time. However, other members of my team saw that I was struggling, helped me onto the roof, and offered me some duct tape to fix the rip in my scrubs, which unfortunately did not work. I was extremely embarrassed in the moment, yet I could not help but admire the support, comfort, and encouragement displayed by the community around me. Though the West End community prompted my interest in living actively in my faith through service, I have had the opportunity to continue serving others with different communities. Last year, I traveled to Uganda with 11 other girls from Harpeth Hall to intern with Heal Ministries, an organization that provides daycare, preschool, and English classes for children, and has programs for women such as beading, pottery, rug making, and sewing that gives them a steady income. The community at Heal Ministries is one of the strongest I have ever had the privilege to be part of, and that is because the people there take the constant love of God they receive and pour it into every person they encounter. Every Friday morning, the staff and children at Heal gather for Bible study where they sing together first and then break up into smaller groups to discuss a verse. Because we didn't speak Luganda, the native language, a translator was placed in each small group so that we could communicate with the women. One morning, we discussed James 1:12, which addresses perseverance under adversity. I was completely overwhelmed by the fact that though I live halfway around the world from these women who live a completely different life than me, their understanding of God and our call to love others in the world was the same as what I've been taught right here in this West End community. I thought I would be serving others at Heal. I was wrong. The women and children at Heal served me by providing me with a seemingly endless joy and by reminding me to live actively in my faith by seeking God in every part of my day. The opportunities that I have had for service here and in Uganda have prepared me to seek out ways to continue to serve in college next year. Though I am sad to leave the safety and comfort of this community, I am excited to search for new communities that will also encourage me to live actively in my faith and serve others. As I've talked about the verse we chose and what I've learned from the West End community, I've mentioned the phrase living actively in my faith. To me, this means to have a desire to experience God's love and serve others, which is precisely what this community has taught me to do and is precisely what these verses call us to do. I'd like to leave you with these words by Christian author Elizabeth Elliot. Quote, "My secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances," end quote. This community has taught me that God is able to live through each of us when we follow his call to serve others in need, which is how we know his love.
So an important part of worship is remembering the ways that God loves and cares for us and others, and the way we are called to do the same. We do that by collectively affirming our faith, so please stand, join us, the 2018 seniors, in our confirmation affirmation of faith that we co-wrote in 2012.
We believe God created our universe and everything in it. We believe God has created and is continually creating. We believe Jesus was a divine being, God in human form. He was born to Mary and Joseph as a tiny and vulnerable baby. He was sent to become a teacher for our lives on earth. We believe Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us to take away our sins. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus as he overcame death. We believe the Holy Spirit is always active in the world and in our lives. We believe the Holy Spirit guides us through life. We believe God loves the world and that God loves everyone unconditionally. We believe God is always there for us. We are able to pray to God at
Please be seated.
Now let us pray, prepare ourselves to enter into the presence of God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We are grateful to pause this morning from so many distractions in our busy lives. Because we do hear the loud clamor of the world, we struggle with the fact that so many people suffer. We see those who are experiencing the pains of war and violence, and we don't know what to do. Lord, we ask you to intervene with the peace and show your love to this world. Lord, we are thankful. Thankful for our families. Thankful for the blessings and many opportunities you have given to us. Thankful for a safe place in this church where we feel welcomed and loved by others. Thankful for friends who listen and offer the support we need. Thankful for the sacrifice that your Son, Jesus Christ, made for us, for each of us. For this is how we know your love and presence in our lives. We offer all these concerns and thanksgivings as we continue to pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
One of the ways we can share how we know God's love is through the giving of our tithes and offerings. In the sharing of what God has given us, we know better what it means to participate in the transforming love of Christ. Let us now offer our gifts to God and to our neighbors.
seated, and I'd like those who are joining to come forward, please. First, I'd like to introduce you to Rosalie Bargman. Rosalie is a retired teacher. She worked in Illinois and Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then lived for many years in Boulder, Colorado, where she was a member of the United Methodist Church there. Most recently, she has lived in Greencastle, Indiana, and she's transferring from Goben United Methodist Church there. Next, we have Betsy and James Akins. James is a senior manager with Phillips Healthcare, and Betsy is in healthcare with Trilliant Health. James is transferring from Asbury United Methodist Church in Greenville, Tennessee, and Betsy is transferring from St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Signal Mountain, Tennessee. Betsy, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Rosalie, James, and Betsy are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks as well as our youth in Reed Hall following our service. Now may God, the God of all grace, strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. On behalf of the youth and the youth leaders, we thank you again for worshiping with us this morning. I pray that we have all been encouraged and will know even better just how loved we all are. What a blessing it has been for Emily, myself, and a few other adults to help these teenagers put together music, prayers, sermons, and more.
Thank you to this body of Christ for supporting our youth and for allowing them to learn leadership in multiple ways. Now continue standing and receive the benediction from Rachel.
Nourished by God's abundant love, go into the world to serve God's people and to witness God's love in all that we do. Love one another in truth and in action. This is how we know what love is. Amen.